Blog Talk Radio.
Oh.
and true worshipers worship. These are the days when my father's grave will be gone to me. Oh.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jehovah Jireh, you are enough. You are enough. You are God. You are enough, Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this opportunity to come this morning. And we, Lord, we thank you for blessing us with the gift of life this day, that you have rained on us righteousness this morning to come into your presence and glorify you, to honor you, lift you up, because you said if you be lifted up from this earth, you will draw all men unto you. We come this morning to lift up your holy name. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray this morning that you would speak to us and speak through us. In Jesus' holy name, we submit to you and to your will this morning. Lord, we ask your forgiveness and we ask your mercy, not only upon us, but upon our nations and upon the nations of the world. Lord, touch every leader this morning. Every minister of the gospel touch this morning. And Lord, allow them to know that you are God and you are God alone. There's no other God but you, Lord God. And we bless you this morning. We praise you. We honor you with that is within us this morning. Have your way in us, Lord Jesus. Speak through us. This morning we are doing part two of the message, and then we'll be leaving it. When leaders follow their own leading, judgment follows. Part two. So here we see here, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 15. Ezekiel chapter 15, and see what this man of God, this servant of God, is saying to us, what the Spirit of God is saying to us, him to say to us, that we might have a greater understanding of God's expectation of Ezekiel chapter 15. It's a very short book, but very powerful. And he said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree? Or the branch, or a branch which is among the trees of the forest? He asked the question. Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devours both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. It is meat for any work. Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much trees shall it be meat yet for any work, when the fire hath devoured it, and it is burned? Therefore thus says the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lord is speaking. And I will set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. And I will make the land desolate because they have committed a trespass, saith the Lord God. The Lord is speaking. Let's go back to Hosea that we was at so you can see what the Lord is saying. Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 10. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. See, you have some people that are just like this. Everything that they do for themselves, therefore, and no more. They're not concerned with other people. They're not concerned with the poor. They're not concerned with the needy. They're not concerned with the sick and the shutting. They're only concerned about themselves. So we have to see this, what Ezekiel said over here, in chapter 15, in order to get the essence of what Ezekiel is saying, you have to go back to Hosea chapter 10. Because God makes his word very plain. God makes his word plain that even a fool can understand. See, when God says something, he don't leave you wondering, well, what does God really mean what he say? All you have to do is search the scriptures. God always makes himself plain. Because you can't say, well, God said something I didn't understand. No, he said here in Ezekiel, when he says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? No, until you get the answer, now you've got to go to Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. And he says, Israel is an empty vine. See? He's classified Israel as a vine. And we know that he called himself the vine. But he's not an empty vine in John chapter 15. But he looks at Israel as an empty vine. Yes, she's bearing fruit, but she's only bearing fruit to herself. And we know there's so many people, leaders, ministers, that are like this. All they're concerned about is that they can't wait to get the next Rolls Royce. They can't wait to get the next Cessna jet. They can't wait to get the next house or the penthouse in Paris or one in France or Germany or somewhere in the Caribbean, while the people that are on food stamps and welfare are taking their EMT card and what do you call it, and they would check the card in to get some money just to give, because they want to give something to the church, want to give something to the pastor. That's not concerned about that. He said, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altar. See, the more these people get, the more altars they want to have. But they're not building altars like Jacob built an altar unto the Lord. They're not making altars for the Lord. They're making altars for themselves that they can go and worship these different entities to get power. I told you this yesterday. It says, so they increase the altars according to the goodness of his hand. They have made godly images. See? Impressive images. They're impressive, but they can't do anything. These satanic altars cannot do anything for the people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Ezekiel makes this thing very plain. 8 single verses. God said, I will set my face against them. Ezekiel chapter 15, verse 7. You imagine that somebody is preaching and teaching the gospel, but God is not even with them. He's not even looking at them. Because in his presence, they are abomination before the Lord. How do you feel preaching for 40, 50 years? And to God, you are just abomination. Because your lifestyle, your habits, your worship are not to the true and living God. This is what God said. God said, man, when I read this thing here, I was just blown away. Ezekiel chapter 15, verse 7. He said, I will set my face against them. They will go out from one fire. See, they're going to escape one fire. You may escape one judgment, but another judgment going to catch you. Hallelujah, glory to God. They think that they're winning. They can escape God with all the foolishness they're doing. Hallelujah. No, we cannot. God gives us plenty warnings. He's long-suffering, the Bible says. So he don't wish that anyone should perish. He's long-suffering. But he wish all would come to repentance. Hallelujah. So God said here in this text, he said, I will set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. You can't escape judgment. No matter what we do, we ought to repent and turn to God. That's what we need to do. Tell the people that there's no escape. If you live in a promiscuous lifestyle, there's no escape to judgment. Yes, you cannot escape the wrath of God. Stop talking about prosperity. Stop talking about naming and claiming. Stop telling the people that lie. Tell them that stuff so they can go to hell. They come and give you money. Oh, I want a prophetic word. Prophet, what the Lord saying? Like you're a genie. And people come to me, Apostle, what God is saying to you about me? Man, God is not a magician. I'm in prayer. I'm a fasting. God might talk to me. But you think I'm just going on the road? I said, just go tell her. Just go tell her she's going to get a husband. Just go tell him he's going to find his wife. I don't work like that. They talk to you like you're a magician. You are some witch doctor. You got a crystal ball. Are you reading the tarot cards? You're a demon agent, satanic agent. He said, look, they're going to escape. Leave one fire, and another fire will devour them. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. And I will make the land desolate. See, the land going to become empty. Look and see what's going on. The man said last night on the YouTube, he said that they have a great plan to destroy America. They're now going to the local farmers. I don't know if you all seen it. They're going to the local farmers that who are growing food, organic foods, organic vegetation, and they're shutting down the farmers, shutting down these farmers so that they don't have organic meat and all the good stuff that would help you to live clean, your life to be clean. Because they want to put that stuff that they're putting all of this stuff that they're injecting these animals with, and the pigs, the horses, the everything they're injecting with a lot of medicine, so that when you get it, it make you sick quick. Your body can't fight off the bacteria because you got all this stuff going in you that they put in the sheep, in the goat, and all the meat that you like to eat, even in the fish that they're harvesting. They got these fish farms. And they're feeding the fish all kind of stuff. The government is doing this. But they don't want you to talk. And they say if you say too much, they can bust down your door. They're monitoring you on Facebook. They're monitoring me. I know that. How many times they shut me down? About 5 times already. 5 times they shut me down. And God has said, you can't keep me down. I come right back up. Now he says, I will make the land desolate because they have committed trespass, says the Lord God. See, they've been worshiping idols. How can you be a preacher? How can you be an ambassador for God? You say that, you get up behind the pulpit and tell the congregation, I am God ambassador. And you push your chest up, your breast is jumping up, your pectoral muscles are jumping, and you look good, got your sharp skin suit on, got your nice Stacy Adams on, your alligator crocodile shoes on. You look good on the altar. But you are lying. You are lying in the presence of the Lord. He said you're like a open a whitewashed tomb, a whitewashed sepulcher. On the altar professing God and not living God. So this is what God is saying to the leaders. This is my last part. I want to do in 2 parts of this because that's what the Lord told me to do. Tomorrow, Minister Jones will come in, and then Thursday, Washington will come in, and then Friday, hopefully, Prophetess Kirstie will come in on Friday. So I'll be out of here just listening. Listen what he says here. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I got a few scriptures I want to put in here, and then I'm going to get over here. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 to 14. Moses speaking, God speaking through Moses. He says, verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. See, Moses sending out a clarion call. Look, the man of God has to keep us in remembrance. The man and woman of God got to keep the people of God in remembrance. Hallelujah. Don't try to make them happy. God says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and in not keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Moses is telling them this. This is what you got to do. Don't forget the Lord. Don't forget the word that the Lord that he gave you to follow. The instruction that he gave you. This is what we got to tell the people. There ain't too many churches you go to, too many church facilities called the people at the church. But the building is just the place that the church assembles together. They meet together. There ain't too many places you go to that you hear some Sundays, not every Sunday, but you're going to hear them preaching or teaching about the Ten Commandments. Because they tell you, look, we're not under the law. We're under grace. So people think, well, since you're not under the law, we can do anything we want to. You know, man just wants an excuse to sin. I just tell you the truth. Man wants an excuse to sin. And we got to stop allowing them to have an excuse. Let the word of God be in their face that they can't say, well, you know what? My pastor never told me about that. You got to tell them Thou shalt not commit a murder. Thou shalt not covet a neighbor's wife or his ox or his ox or anything that is. Thou shalt honor thy mother and thy father, honor the Israel. You've got to tell them the commandments. You've got to tell them. This is God's law. The law is from Genesis to Revelation, but the commandment is a standard point that he put out there. It says, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not bear. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long in the land. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. Those are the Ten Commandments. If we put them before the people got a light spotting on them. Every time they want to do something, that light is right there. The commandments of the light to expose sin. That's what it is. But they don't want to say this because people want to sin. They want to give it sense. That's their nature. That's the nature of a human being. Sin, S-I-N. And they want you to be in agreement with them. As long as you're in agreement with them, you're the best pastor. You're the best prophet. You're the best prophetess. You are the best apostle, the best evangelist, best pastor, best teacher. You are the best. Hallelujah. You know that they come in the dungeon. You don't say nothing to them. They come to church. You don't say, but Sister Jones, I need to have a talk with you. Brother Brown, I need to talk with you. Can I have a talk with you after the service? See, because God is not going to embarrass you. Take them in the office and have a talk with them. You love them enough to look, son, I love you enough. Daughter, I love you enough. I got to tell you the truth. And the truth is God's word. If you continue doing what you're doing, because everybody's talking. And I'm not here to embarrass you in any way. You got, you know, a little honey can catch a lot of flies. You can only catch one or two of vinegar. Put honey on it. I'm not here to embarrass you or make you feel small or anything. I'm just trying to tell you because I love you enough. I don't want to know that you go to hell. I want to see you in heaven when I'm in heaven with the other saints. You need to check yourself. Stop doing what you're doing. As the saying goes, check yourself before you wreck yourself. I love you. Don't give the people something to talk about. Talk to them. And what he says, he tell her, keep these words, keep these things. Now he says, Lord Jesus, this is so sweet. I tell you, I love the word of God. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full. Listen. Moses speaking to the children of Israel. He said, keep all the law, not some of the law. And he brought this thing down in three segments. He says, the commandments, the judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. He said, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, when you get comfortable, you know how we do? We Negroes and we eat. The black in us come up. The African in us come up. We go to sleep. We want to take a nap. He said, lest when you are full and have built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flock multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up. See, they get proud, prideful. Everything is working for them. They got gold, they got silver, they got a lot of cattle. The vineyard is flourishing, everything is working. In this time you say, well, they got, the business is gone. They answer for no in this time that we're living. This is not about sheep and goat. Now they got gold, they got silver, they got debt, they got, yes, they got homes. Not home, they got homes. I was listening to an African-American the other day. She was telling people how to make money. She said, call me up. I'll tell you how to make, you know how they make money? They make money by using your money. Call you up. She said, call me up and I'll tell you how to make money. You know, it costs you so much to get the information. You know, information is not free. Hallelujah. Thank God. That's why a lot of pastors don't tell you everything. When they tell you some stuff, they say, well, it's going to cost you this. $1,000, $500, $200, $50, it's going to cost you this. They don't tell you a lot of stuff. Glory to God. So The ones that get all the stuff, no, they're lifted up, they're full of pride. They can't even talk to the homeless. They can't talk to the orphans. They can't talk to the widows. They don't talk to them. You can't even get to certain some of these bishops that can call some of their names. You can't even get close to them. They got armor bears. They got protectors that protect them. These are no protectors. He walked free through the crowd. They couldn't touch him. They wanted to kill him. They couldn't kill him before his time. He just slid through the crowd. He didn't have Peter, only one time in the garden, Peter draw a sword. He said, Peter, put your sword back in the sheath. Put it back up, Peter. Took the man here, centurion here, and put it back on the side of the head. I'm telling you, these people tell us, well, I'm Bishop so-and-so, I'm Apostle so-and-so, I'm Chief Apostle. They got to have three or four people guarding them. Matter of fact, they even got a 9mm on their side. I watched the preachers from L.A. One of the preachers said, he said, I'm strapped. I always go down strapped. When I go down the ghetto, I go down there strapped. Well, if you're truly living a godly life, you shouldn't have to be strapped to go down to the ghetto. Hallelujah. But no, he said, less. You see people going, once they start to get to multiply, and they start to get uppity. They're not walking with the highfalutin. They don't deal with the small people anymore. The Bible says that heart, then their heart be lifted up, and they'll forget the Lord their God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He said, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, and scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. He said, Lord, watch what the Lord does. It's either the Lord supply all our needs. But as soon as we start to flourish, as soon as we start to prosper, we forget who done all the stuff for us. We forget that we were used to be in a crack house. We forget that we used to sell our bodies. We forget we used to fornicate. We forget we used to cook. We were lesbian. We forget we were a homosexual. We forget we were all this stuff. We forget. We forget. We don't want to share testimony anymore because we don't know that our testimonies will give people an opportunity to come out of where they are. Some folks don't even want to come to the altar because the pastor acts so holy, so pious. And they're wrapped up in sin and say, look, I can't go up there. They tell Strip, I can't go up there. They forget that God brought them out all of these things, these leaders. Because why? They're focusing on their own leadership, their own leading. They're not listening to God. Jesus is our leader. That's the one we follow. He's our leader. He's our supplier. He's our healer. He's our defender. He's our strong tower. He's our buckler. Hallelujah. He's the place that we run into to find safety, our strong tower. Glory to God. But we're falling ourselves. Because, see, we got some money in the bank now. We don't have zero now. We got a lot of zeros behind some numbers. So we don't need God anymore. And we ask ourselves, what can God do for me? That's what it says in the book of Ezekiel. Say chapter 8. Say, what can he do? He can't see us. He don't know what we're doing. We can do what we want to do. This is how a lot of the leaders are doing. But he said, listen to what he said. Let's read this here and finish this up. I didn't want to go this far, but the Lord's person, go ahead. He said, who feed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. See, God allows us to go through testing and trials in the wilderness. In the times that we are living, we go through some testing. Sometimes our body seems like it's not acting right. Our knee joint and elbow joint and ankle joint and back joint and all this neck joint, all this stuff that seems like it's pain every way. And God wants to know, are you still going to trust him? Or are you going to complain because you got so arthritic pains in your body? Are you going to trust him as your healer? Are you going to trust him when it seems like they said there's no food? As there's a famine coming up in the United States of America, are you going to trust him that he's going to supply your needs? I just went up there and I was watering my garden. I know you all have garden over there in Tennessee. Mississippi. You should. If you don't have yours, have some. You have plenty of land. And I got these gardens back then. I got some nice beets growing up there, carrots, and I got some cucumber and got some, we call it spinach. And all this stuff I got, cantaloupe, got grown back there. And I look at the parsley and the basil and stuff. You know, all things that for the health I got up there growing. Onions, you know, ginger, all that stuff I got in the ground. Because you're gonna have to start eating some good stuff. And all that stuff that mess up your body, you're gonna have to leave alone and eat once in a while. But you're gonna need the good stuff because you don't have to put in too much. When you're eating the good stuff, you don't need a whole lot of it. You don't have need a whole lot of it. It just a little bit will give your body the nourishment that you need. You know, I'm an herbalist. I got so many, got hundreds of herbs in here that I use to keep me. Hallelujah. I don't need a whole lot of stuff to eat. Stuff. You got to eat the right stuff. See. He said, look, I give you manna from heaven that your fathers didn't even know. They know not of. When they were hungry, I feed you all. When you need water, I bring water off the rock. When there was no water, you was in a dry and thirsty land, and I give you water. But you forget all this that I've done for you. How can I forget that God sent, by his spirit, come up in the crack house and drew me out? When people were getting shot down in the streets all around me, dying. When I had the gun and we were playing Russian roulette, we were so messed up on crack cocaine. And our leader, I called him the leader, because he was no stuff. And he took his 32 revolver, or 38, some one or two, and he shot, put a bullet in there and spin the barrel and give to me. And said, squeeze the trigger. And God didn't let that bullet come up in the chamber to hit me. And then it goes to the next person. And we were lucky that night nobody died. I said, never again will I be in that in his presence when he getting high. Because he does crazy stuff. Never will I be in that guy's presence. And God protected me. How can I forget that? Because I'm out here and I got $2 above poverty. Two poor chocolate from a famine, two hamburgers from a famine, and I'm going to think that I got something going on. No, the devil's a liar. I got to tell God. I got to tell the world what God has done, what he's doing for me. People, they don't want this stuff. They're too highfalutin now. He said, and thou say in thy heart, my power, hear what I'm saying, my power and the might of my hands has gotten me this wealth. See how I'm doing this, say this stuff. Oh, I've been putting in all these hours. I've been doing all this stuff. This is how I got all this stuff. Ain't nobody helped me this. Ain't no God helped me. I did all this stuff on my own. Me and I. That's what they say. He said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, and he that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. See, we can't stop but giving God glory. We gotta let the people know you're not here in this sanctuary because you wanted to. You're here because God drew you here. He brought you out of the place of death and bring you life. See, that dark place that we were walking in, that we were living in, that all it was leading to death. That doctor said he brought us into marvelous, his marvelous life. We forget. How soon we forget. When we have nothing to eat, then how to take showers. Then how to brush our teeth because we want to get to the dope man to get our dope. We want to get to ABC liquor store to get our liquor. I got a elixir here mixed. I got some kosher wine, and I got some red onions and garlic and ginger, and apple cider vinegar, all in the wine. They're all mixed together. And I tell you, man, you're talking about something build your immune system, strengthen your immune system. All you need is one little shot glass of that stuff. I got one of them little Timbals shot glass. It's a silver thing. And I take one of them in the nighttime before I go down. Sometime in the morning, I take one shot in the morning early. Strengthen your immune system. All natural stuff. Hallelujah. Kosher wine. Blessed wine. He says, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Do you hear what the Lord says? Listen to what the Lord says by his servant Moses the prophet. If you turn to other gods and serve them, hallelujah, you shall surely perish. He didn't say that you may perish. He said you shall surely perish. What would a prophet of man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? People are going after stuff and think that the stuff that they're going after can keep them alive. No, God said, no, you shall surely perish. As the nation which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. God said, let me remind you that I have destroyed many nations before you and kept you alive, but you would not obey my voice. You're not even listening to my voice. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31. People don't want to hear you. I tell them the truth, even if they don't. I got so many people hearing me now on this message from yesterday. I said, wow. They were hitting Block Talk Radio. And I said, praise the Lord. All the way from Canada. We got message coming. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you. Thank you. I said, praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is all we're doing. We ain't looking for no smack on the back. When God is touching your heart and touching your town, you speaking what God is saying. God gets all the honor, all the glory. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 31. Let's read the first five verses. Let's read this. At the same time, says the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. He said, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. And even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest, the Lord hath prepared of all unto me, saying, yeah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Even when we were messing up, God has loved us with everlasting love. Even when we was in darkness, he was shining his marvelous light so we can get out of darkness and get to the place that he prepared for us. Again, I will build thee, listen to the Lord, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tablets, and shall go forth in the dancing of them that make merry. God said, look, you're going to have the timbrels, the tambourines. You're going to begin to play them, making merry, because I have blessed you. I've kept you in the midst of all the storms that you have faced. Thou shalt yet plant vines up upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. See, the planters going to eat the thing, the plants that they plant. As just common things. You know, some folk that think that the stuff that God is doing for them, they just look at it as just common. They don't really truly appreciate what God has done for them. Well, I just got to go to church. I got to go to church on Sunday morning because Pastor preached a good message last week. And I pray that he do preach another good message on Sunday. I just got to go. They don't appreciate the word of God. They're looking, going after an emotion, a feeling. Hallelujah. They eat their fruit as common things. Hallelujah. Take the word of God for granted. Go to Hosea chapter 4. They take it for granted. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's pull up one or two verses in here.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hosea chapter 4, thank you, Brother Deacon. 4:15, let's see what we got here. Though thou is a plague, the harlot. Yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye unto Gilgal. Neither go ye up to Beth-Eben, nor swear the Lord liveth. He began to talk to Judah. Because Judah sinned, but not like Israel. Not like Israel did. And God was covering Judah. And he warned Judah, look, look, don't you go up there to Beth-Eben. That's the place of idol worship. That's the place of idol worship. See, idolatry. Glory to God. Don't you get connected to these folks. We got to watch in prayer. Prophetess, talks that all the time. We got to pray. We taking this walk for granted. He says, for Israel, slay it back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to Israel. Ephraim is joined to Israel, excuse me. Let him alone. So God said, leave him alone. When folk is going and they got to go down to the tarot card reader and the palm reader, leave them alone. Don't even give them a ride in your car. Don't let them get on the back of your motorcycle. If they got to walk, if they got to catch the train, if they got to catch the bus, however they want to go to get that idol worshiping, let them do it. They don't want to listen to you. They don't want to hear you. Because they believe that if they're indulging witchcraft, that they're going to get rich. Satan has told them that. And the Satan has told them that. Parents got to stand up on their flat footed. Got to stand flat footed and all this stuff they're trying to do in our schools. These teachers that allow these people to bring that stuff in and they're indulging it, you got to shut them down. No, if you're going to put me in jail, but my kids are not going to them schools. They're not going. My grandkids are not going to them schools. One way or another, they're going to stay home. I stay home and I homeschool them. I send them to a private school, but they're not going there. People's parents got to stand up. Don't let the people tell them, man, if you don't go to work, you're going to starve. No, God is going to let you starve. You stand for righteousness, he's going to keep you. Said, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk upright before him, from those who love him and walk upright before those who are called according to his purpose. Listen to me. You got to trust God that God's going to back you. God is not going to let you fall. Hallelujah. You're not going to fall into sin because you want to survive. You want to be able to put food on the table for your family. Stand for righteousness, and God will stand for you. Listen to what he says. Glory to God. Oh, Lord Jesus. He says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let them stand alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love give ye. Leaders in sin. Leaders living a sinful lifestyle. They think they're not under the radar, that they cannot be picked up. But God's radar is so awesome. It is so vast that you can't hide from it. And you may hide from the earthly status. Hallelujah. Or the earthly technology, but you cannot hide from God. His technology is too vast. It goes everywhere. If you go underneath the bed, he sees you up there. You go in the closet, he sees you there. You go down the rocks, go down to hell, where the ocean deep, he sees you there. You can't hide from him. His radar system picks up everything, sees everything. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and there shall be a shame because of the sacrifices. Who are you sacrificing to today? Go back to Hosea. In Hosea, go to Hosea chapter 8. I'm telling you something today that this message, I thank God for it. Because if you're preaching, you're a first partaker. Whatever message you might say, well, Lord, I don't know where I'm going to preach next week. Lord, I got to come on and preach next week and bring a word. And you start turning that pages, and something look real good to your eyes, and your heart start to flutter on it, said, man, this is a good word for the people. But get what? It's a good word for you because you're the first partaker. You're the one who used the first knife and the first fork to cut that meat. You're going to taste it first. God know you need it. I'm looking at this. I said, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I've been places, man, where people doing witchcraft. Preachers in witchcraft. And Lord, let me see. They want to get rich. That's all they want to do. All they're focusing on is getting rich. I got some preachers under our ministry here and abroad, and I tell them straight, if I find out that you're dipping in witchcraft, no more you will be with me. No more will I have you. I'm going to pray for you. I don't want you to go to hell, but nowhere will I use God's money to help you. The money that I get is not mine, it's God's money. I ain't going to help them. I'm not going to help them. Believe what I'm telling you. For, listen, Hosea chapter 8, verse 6 says, for from Israel was it also the workman made it. Therefore, it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. See, then Israel took their own gold that God gave to them. God allowed them to get. And they wanted a God. They forget Jehovah that brought them out of Egypt. They wanted a God that they could see, that they could touch and play with. A God that would not give them strong commands. Strong instructions. Ain't not like us. We gravitate to everybody. We gravitate to every preacher that's going to talk sweet in their ear. Paul said they got itchy ears. And they gravitate to any preacher that's going to give them a doctrine that tickles their ear. But if they get some doctrine that's going to bring judgment to their heart, conviction, they don't want. Listen now. I want this stuff. He always talking about judgment and always talking about sin. I want to enjoy my life. Yeah? There's no enjoyment in hell. All is hell is heat. There's no water. I preached a message some years ago. Hell is hot. Not a drop of water. Hell is hot. Not a drop of water. Some years I got it in one of my folders. Hallelujah. A lot of people think that, well, I want to have a good time. But the good time going to lead you into hell. God, all God's trying to do is protect us and prevent us from going to hell. Because once we get on that pathway, and we settle, God can't do nothing for you. Once you get in hell, he can't do nothing for you. You sign that ticket and walk through that door, God can't pull you back out. As powerful as he is, as awesome as he can't pull you out. That's why he's long-suffering. He's giving you time to get your life together, to repent, so he can save your soul. He said, no, I don't want all that stuff. They build a calf, but God said the calf should be broken into pieces. When God saved us, he destroyed everything around us that would try to keep us from him. Do you know that? You find that time you feel that you want to go back and do this and do that. And you can't go back and do this and do that. Why? God has destroyed it. God destroyed it. Just to protect you. And sometimes you look at some people that they look so demonic. They look different. And you find yourself saying, man, I don't even want to sort of life with them. They don't even look like the same people I used to hang with before. God has changed all that. Change all that to keep you safe. No, let's go to another book. Let's go to Jeremiah 48. Jeremiah chapter 48. We're jumping through the book because this is how you get to learn your book, Jeremiah chapter 48. And we in the King James. We're staying here in the King James, all day in the King James. We ain't go to another book. Just King James. He said, Jeremiah 48, verse 7. Listen to Jeremiah. For because thou hast trust in thy works and in thy treasures, thou shalt also be taken, and Shemos shall go forth into captivity with the priest and his princes together. See, look. I'm talking about leaders. God is speaking to leaders. And here this prophet here is saying, because they have trusted in thy works, the works of their hands, the idols that they have made, they trusted in. People got a new Lamborghini, a new Ferrari, a new Lexus, a new Mercedes Benz. They trusted. They put all their trust in that car. They would even kill you if you did finish detailing that car. That car, you can see your face, your whole body picture printed on the side when you pass the side, and you go lean up next to that car, that man would stab you or shoot you. One man here in Boston a couple of years ago has painted his fence, white picket fence. The fence was so beautiful. And some young man came and leaned upon the fence. He shot the man. Shot him. He didn't want nobody touching his fence because that was his idol. He showed off how nice his house was and his nice picket fence, white picket fence. People got their car clean. Man, I got people scratching my car like the tuna did. I said, Lord, I just thank you for that car. God will give me another one, though. He'll give me another one. And they scratched up the car so bad. You know, Minister Jones, I had to send to Amazon. I got all these different buffing pads and stuff. And I'll go to Harbor Freight. I'm going to trade my little machines first. If not, I'll go to Harbor Freight and buy me a buffing machine. The buffing. Man, you know, because the devil is a mess. They don't want to see you with anything good. Because you spend a lot of time working. Hours, days, and nights working to get what the Lord has prepared for you. You're not running any shortcuts. You're not taking any shortcuts and trying to get stuff. You're not trying to sell crack or cocaine, powdered cocaine or heroin or methamphetamines or fentanyl or none of stuff that my ones are trying to make ends meet. You trust in God. And you wait 3, 4, 5 years before you get what you really needed. And now as soon as you get it, they come and scratch at your stuff, throw paint on your stuff. Red paint like blood, call you a Christian, and they're coming against you. Man, the devil is submitting. Jeremiah 48:7. Listen to what he says. Because thou hast trusted in thy works and in thy treasures, thou shalt also be taken, and Chemosh shall go forth into captivity with his priests and his princes together. See the priests. You'll see the same scripture here in Judges 11:24. The leaders, it wasn't the people outside. It's the leaders that's supposed to get this thing right. And they got the thing wrong and lead the people astray. Instead of worshiping Jehovah El Shaddai, Jehovah Elion, they are worshiping satanic entities. Listen, First Kings 12. Man, this book here, I tell you, if you get a chance, man, while you're relaxing home, on the job, you get a break, man, study this book here. This book here, I read it all. Oh, man, it was so powerful. I said, Lord, you give us just what we need. We don't have no excuse. We don't have any excuse. First Kings Chapter 12. Read it. They got some powerful leaders in this book. And God show you how they deviate from the truth. It's right in the book. But you got to follow it. He says, whereupon the king took counsel. Listen, this is 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 28. I got one more scripture to give after this, and then we're going to go. He says, whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Listen to the king. This is a leader. This is a leader. He's supposed to be leading God's people. And he said, it's too much for you to go down to the church building and worship that Jesus that you worship him. Look, right here I'm going to give you a Buddha statue, and I'm going to give you a little box with the hands of the toilet. You put the little Buddha in the box and light some incense, and you can worship right by your house. You can come over here, but I got the same thing over here. You don't have to go up to Jerusalem. This is what he's saying. I'm just paraphrasing that. He said, look. He said to them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. We go to Jerusalem for to go there to worship Jehovah El Shaddai. Behold these gods. Now, look, I got 2 golden calves. Behold these gods. Exodus chapter 32, verse 4 and verse 8, the same scripture in there. When Moses went up to the mountain to worship, to talk to God, to get some instructions, they were worshiping gods, idol gods, calves. Exodus chapter 32, verse 4 and 8. He said, oh, Israel, why you got to go up to Jerusalem? You don't have to go. I got two calves. I just had them made. They're shining. Look upon them. They're shining. These are the gods you worship now. And you don't have to go no way. Come out your front door. Come around the corner. Your gods are right here. They're right in the square. Everybody can come and worship them. And he set the one in Bethel and the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin for the people. Went to worship before the one and even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. See, he made people who weren't even called by God. Then had a mindset to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And then he made them gods. We got to be careful. Go to Isaiah 46. Isaiah chapter 46. I hope you're getting something out of this today. Glory to God. Minister Joe is going to bring us a hot message tomorrow. Just get up and support this young man. Supporting Isaiah 46. And let's start at verse 1. Bel bows down. Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle, your carriage. And upon the cattle, your carriage were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beasts. See, they got these idols that they're taking for worship. And they put them on the cattle. They're walking. But they're so heavy, they become a burden to the cattle. They stoop. They bow down together. They could not deliver the burden. But themselves are gone into captivity. See, when you leave from serving the Most High, you're going to find yourself in captivity. Every time that we reject, object, and negate fallen God, the true and living God, we find ourselves in captivity. Captivity in some way, in the mind, in the spirit, physically, we find ourselves in captivity. Listen to me. He said to leaders, when we follow our own leading, we find that judgment is right behind us. Coming to us. When leaders follow their own leading, judgment follows. We're not spending time to hear from God. We're not fasting and praying so God can speak to us. We say, well, look, I've been to school for 4 years, 5 years, and I have my doctorate degree. I got on Facebook, and I had the plaque in front of my chest so everybody can see. I know it's Dr. David. Apostle Calendar, I got it in front of my chest. So I don't have to fast anymore. I don't need to pray anymore. I don't need to study that book anymore. That's what they're saying. Not David Calendar. I'm not saying that. That's what the people are saying. I don't have to fast anymore. I am a doctor of theology now. And they don't want you to call it. You can't even hardly say, well, let me just call her Sister Susan. Let's call her Sister Mary. Brother John. Oh, they got an attitude. Oh, you can look at their face. They got their face like you hit them with an ugly stick. Their face turned ugly. You didn't call them doctor, bishop, apostle, this body. Man, Lord, you know that I'm a child of God, and I'm determined to serve him with everything inside of me. That's all that matters. You ain't got to call me all that stuff. Listen. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob. Verse 3. And all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me, from the belly, which are carried from the womb. God speaking clearly. God is saying, I birth you. I carry you in me. This we say to Israel. He says, and even to your old age, I am he. And even to hard ears will I carry you. I have made and will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? Oh, my God, there's nobody. There's nobody you can compare him to. He's greater than anyone that we can even comprehend. The great I am. That's why he told Moses, just tell him. They want to know who you are, Moses said. What shall I tell him? He said, just tell him that I am sent you. There's nothing greater in all the letters with capital, higher case letters. Capital I, capital A, capital M. That's who he is. He's greater than everyone that we can think of, that we can bring up in thought, that we can even just think of, comprehend. He said, man, how can you liken that we may be like? Oh, they lavished gold out of the bag and weighed silver in the balance and had a goldsmith. And he maketh a god, maketh it a god. They fall down, yeah, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulders. They carry him and set him in his place. And he standeth from his place. Should he not remove? Yeah, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. See, they took the statue. They God and they carry him. God should be carrying you. You're carrying God on your shoulder, on your back. A God that can't save you, can't heal you, can't deliver you, can't talk to you. They wanted a God that they can talk to, that would not talk back to them and give them rules. That's why they couldn't wait for Moses to come down from the mountain talking to God. They had already made a God. A golden image. This God they make can't save them from their troubles. Remember this and show yourself men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Jesus God said, look. I declare things from the end to the beginning. I know all things, God says. Hallelujah. Why are you in the beginning? God's already at the end. Because you know the end before the beginning. We're trying to reach the end. God already went to the end, already coming back. He knows everything. And his counsel is sure. What God says, you can depend on. You can say your name next to what God says. It's for real. There's no maybes. And it shall be, will be. It is so. Listen to God. He's calling a ravenous bird from the east. The man that executes my judgment from a far country, yeah. I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Hearken unto me, you stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. And I will praise salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Hallelujah. God says we'll not delay. It's coming. Hallelujah. See, we got a form of it right now. We just got a touch of it, a taste of it, but it's coming. When Jesus comes, hallelujah, you're going to step into your real salvation, truthfully into it. Hallelujah, glory to God. This is what I'm expecting. Why would we be like him? I would experience him. Father, we thank you. We praise you and we glorify your name. God, we honor you for this day that you have given us a part two of the message, Lord God. Lord, you allow us to go in and look at the word according to your grace and your mercy, Lord. Father, we ask you to speak to us, Lord God. Continue to speak to us. Use the young man, Minister Jones, tomorrow as you give him a word to bring to us tomorrow, Lord. Speak to him in the nighttime, Lord, and let him see your word clearly, Lord God. Let the word, oh God, fill his heart, fill his belly, Lord God. Fill his mind, God. Lord, anything that would try to call him to deviate from seeing, Lord God, Lord, you move it out of his eyesight. Move it out of his path, Lord. Let nothing hinder him. Let nothing stop him, oh God, from oh God, searching your word, oh God, for us. For we are hungry. We are thirsty, Lord, and we want to be filled, Lord, in Jesus' name. No. I want to talk to you about salvation quick, fast, in a hurry. Pastor James is not here today, and we are excited. They will come in on Thursday. The Bible says that you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. So you got to open your mouth. Peter says, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So you've got to repent. And repentance is just simply that you've got to stop doing what you've been doing. You can't hang up with the boys you used to hang up with before, the girls you used to hang up with before. You can't go to the club you used to go to. Hallelujah. Cannot go to the liquor store buying liquor anymore unless you are buying holy wine. I buy kosher wine, you know, from Israel. I buy that wine. And they bless it, but I bless it myself too. I speak the scriptures over it for myself. And you can't hang out no more. You can't be at the street corner unless you're at the street corner talking about Jesus. You can't be out there hanging out with them dope pushers and those people who are selling their body and stuff. You can't do that anymore because you're becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3. And 23, Romans chapter 6 and 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We want to live forever. See, a lot of people say, well, when you die, you die. That's it. Well, no, this is the second death. We talked to you about that yesterday in Revelation chapter 20. There's a second death. If you're not living holy, if you're not serving Christ and giving your life completely over to him, you will face a second death. If you live a promiscuous lifestyle, a sinful lifestyle, and you have not repented and changed and give your life to Christ, you will die a second death. You will face a second judgment. You understand what I'm saying? And you will be condemned to the lake of fire and brimstone. You don't want that to happen. So you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven on your own merits, on your own efforts. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You can't do anything to go to heaven. We teach and preach. That's not going to make us go to heaven. That's not going to let us in heaven because we teach and preach the gospel. What's going to let us in is because we are obedient to Christ. We follow his instructions. See the instruction Moses was giving the people in Deuteronomy chapter 8 this morning? They didn't want to follow the instructions. Matter of fact, they didn't. They did their own thing. If they don't repent, then repent, they're all going to hell. Because they deviate from the message, from the instruction that they got. They decide that they wasn't going to follow the man of God. If we want to go into heaven, we're going to have to make a conscious decision. There's only one way to go into heaven. Many people are saying that there are many ways. And that way is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. You'll find that in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6. We have to make a decision to live for Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. John 3:7 said, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, Jesus came in here to save sinners. He came in here to set you free. He came in here to pay a debt for you and I, for us, that we owed that we couldn't pay. We didn't have enough to pay. Why? Because it didn't call for gold or silver. It didn't call for the U.S. dollar. It didn't call for gold from Fort Knox Bank. What it called for righteousness, for holiness. Someone that was pure enough to defeat the devil. Someone that didn't have none of the devil inside of them, no darkness in them, but was pure. He was without spot, without blemish. And he came down here to destroy his work so that we would have access to the tree of life. Jesus did this. He was obedient even unto death. The Bible says he didn't say a mumbling word. He could have called angels to fight for him if he wanted to. To set him free. He could even bring himself down from the cross. You'll hear me say from time to time, it wasn't the nails that kept him on the cross. It was the love that he had for you and I. Even though we were in sin, whatever sin that we were in, sin is sin. I know people got a lot of stuff saying today with, I didn't sin like her. She was a prostitute. I didn't sin like her. I just smoked marijuana. Well, I just cussed. And then if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, well, it's all over for you. It's all over for you. So we have to watch what we say and watch what we do. Mainly we want to trust in what Jesus done, the finished work of the cross, and live an obedient life to Jesus. That don't mean that you're not going to fall short from time to time. But when you slip, sometime I step off the ground and I miss my step. I say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I say, Lord, help me. Miss my step. Well, sometimes you find yourself saying stuff or doing stuff. I know that the time I was working and I charged this woman some money. I know I was in my rightful position of charging the money. But she wasn't happy. But I wasn't going to let her have something to say negative about me. I said, look, whatever you feel to pay me, just go on and pay me. It's all right with me. Because my truck is completely paid off. I owe a dime for it. Thank God for that. My tools are paid for. I owe no place, no company. For now, my tools, all my power tools are paid for. So I said, look, you give me a refill. And she gave me some money. I said, that's all right. I said, that's all right. Now, she got to deal with her conscience. I don't have to fight with my conscience. My conscience was cleared when I told her what the price was. She didn't want to pay that. If it was somebody to come and charge her from a different race, she would have paid her. She'd write the check. She'd have given cash or however she wanted to pay. See, I am an African American just like her, person of color. So you think it was too much money for me? And I said, look, well, just give me the check. Whatever meet your fancy, I will go for. And guess what? She did that, and God blessed me after that. Because see, when you hear in God, don't let nothing, nobody take you out of that vein. Don't let nobody take you out of that vein. Not for no money, not for nothing. I don't care what they have. You can't take no vein. I'm flowing in Christ Jesus. You don't have to like what I say or like what I do. I'm going to stay flowing in Christ because that's what I want to do. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a good day. This is a very good day. Why we say that? Because tomorrow is not promised. I know you might. Running off at the top of your head thinking that tomorrow promised, but not promised to you, and sure not promised to me. God give us this day, and this day you have to take that opportunity to give your life to Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We're looking at the news. I don't watch too much. My wife, she watches the news a lot. I watch on the computer different places of the world. Of course, they don't give you the real stuff here. They don't give you the real stuff here now anyway. They're compromising the truth on these new stations, so I don't listen to them. I don't watch them. But when you hear how many people are dying, young people dying. Just there was just one person, four girls in a car. They all stole some car, and they're running down the highway at top speed. I mean, just crazy. And the girl that was driving lose control, two of the girls got ejected out of the car. One of them died. And treat them in the hospital right now, right here in Boston, fighting for their life. Treat them fighting for their lives. And they're young. They ain't 21 years old. They're fighting for their lives. So if you get a chance that you can say, Lord Jesus, I am sorry, I'm a sinner. Say that with me today. Say, Lord Jesus, I am so sorry. I realize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I've been living my life and doing as I please, whatever, however, and whenever, wherever I choose to. But today, I realize after hearing this man say that tomorrow is not promised to me and that I can go at a moment's notice and that I must know, have a surety in my heart that if I die unexpectedly, that I will be going to be with you. Today I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system. And Jesus, I come to you with open heart, asking you, inviting you to come into my heart. Take up your rightful position in my heart as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Jesus, I accept you today as my Lord and my Savior. I thank you for dying on Calvary, giving your life so that I would have life. Wash me in your blood according to 1 John 1:9. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I receive you now. Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit, and I will be filled. Free me, and I shall be free. In Jesus' name. If you just said that prayer, you just received the gift of salvation. Now you're going to be baptized, because the Bible requests that. That was one of the requirements, that you have to be baptized. This complete the path to salvation. So you want to find a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize, and you got to be specific about your baptism, because people going to baptize you anyway. I one time when I was growing up, I thought I was baptized. I didn't know till I come to America, you know, that I wasn't baptized. Of course, we were going to Episcopal church, and the man, the priest, he dipped a ladle, looked like a scoop thing, and he stick the water up the basin and pour on my head. I was sprinkled. But when I came here and I joined the apostolic movement, I went down the water. Man, and I tell you, it was a blessed time. It was a time that I never experienced before. I was running, I was crying, I was boo-hooing. I mean, I was having a happy cry. And that's what you want to do. You want to submerge in that water. You want them to put you down in the water, cover your head, your feet, your belly, everything. Cover you up in the water. You're going down a liquid grave. Invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, even your enemies, because this is a special day. You want everybody to know on July the 26th if you get baptized today or whatever day that you get baptized, it's going to be a special day. You'll never experience anything like it again, not in this life. You go down that water, you come up, man, I'm telling you, a joy is going to take over your heart that you can't, nobody can explain it to you. You got to experience it for yourself. And when you come out today, find your church that's preaching and teaching the gospel, true living gospel, so that you can grow. Because the more word you get, the stronger you're going to become in your faith. Study your Bible, though. A lot of people can teach you a lot of stuff, but nobody can teach you like the Holy Spirit. Open that Bible and invite the Holy Spirit and let him teach you. He will teach you. And older you get, the wiser you will get. I tell you, I'm getting so wise now. I am so excited with the wisdom that God is pouring into me that it's just taking me to another dimension in him. You know, you might not get it, but I got it. I tell you, I got the way he's giving it to me now. It's like no tomorrow. So I thank God for you to receiving the gift of salvation. Man, that you just giving your life to Christ. And those that are out there, if you have backslid, you said the same prayer. If you didn't say it, go back and rewind and say it again. And give your life, rededicate your life, because time is drawing close. It's closer than when we first began. Look and see all the technology. Everything is leading to his return. All the technology that you see coming forth is leading to his return. Soon we will have robots, robot women and robot men walking between us that look just like human beings that you're not going to be able to recognize, you know, because they're trying to replace mankind. Just pay attention. Get yourself ready to receive your Savior. Okay, God bless you all. The line is now open for anyone. Mother Grant is not on the line today. The line is open for anyone that want to respond. Remember that Minister Jones will be bringing a message tomorrow. Come on early and support him. And then Thursday, I think the Washingtons will be here. And then Friday, I believe Providence Kershaw will be here. That every day is taken up, okay? Just come on in and support the people and give God glory. Let God know that we're hearing what he's speaking to his people and that we appreciate it. It's not for the people. Give God the glory. The line is open.
Well, God bless you, Apostle Connors. I was trying to, sitting on the couch, trying to go over some scriptures and stuff. I enjoyed the word. Everything you said was true. You have to really pray for leadership. You know, sometimes leaders get beside themselves and forget that God, the one using them, you know, instead of doing like Jesus Christ did, lifting up the Father, everything that Jesus did throughout that entire New Testament, before he came, he always lifted up the Father. He always pointed back to the Father. He always said, if thy will be done, let your will be done. Everything Jesus said, he even through the things he suffered, the word of God said he learned obedience through the things that he had suffered, you know, and then, you know, and he still did the will of the Father, even though in his mind, he probably didn't want to go through anymore because of the sake of man. But if he wouldn't have died for us, we'd have been in trouble. But it's just sad that you got leaders now that don't get it, man. Their money it has taken the place of God, and they have taken the place of God. You hear their name called more than Jesus' name called, and it's just sad, man. It's sad, and then you know, but some of them operate in the spirit of pride. And once you get the spirit of pride, man, nobody can tell you, man. It'll take God how to bring them down. And so the only thing you can do is pray for them that God deal with them, because a lot of you got some of these preachers have been brought up by Satan, and some of them operate in the spirit of pride. Some of them have been fired, and then they still won't sit down, and you can't see no anointing, and they won't give up that office because they want to keep the accolade, the big house they got, the cars they got, the people paying all their bills. I'm not saying that you should take care of your leaders. Put all, you know, if they're doing the will of God and they're operating, being obedient to God, you should take care of your leaders. But if you got a leader and that's all he's concerned about, man, you should question that. And you got some leaders, all the only time they have churches when they're trying to collect money. And they don't have shed-ins, they don't have altar calls. Some churches don't even have altar calls. You know, and people just don't, they think that's, you know, because people don't read their Bible and they don't really understand, you know, and some people have made they pastor God. I think I said before on here, I done witnessed the people, and I try to tell them the truth of the word, and then I can show them in the word what the word is saying. They say what their pastor said. Well, my pastor, I say, well, your pastor is a liar. If it ain't in that word, then your pastor lying. I had one lady told me, talking about her pastor told her she could still go to the club. I said, well, wait a minute now. What that said in the Bible? Please show me that. I said, ain't your body the temple of God? Ain't you brought with a price? I said, so if God, if your body is the temple of God and God living in you, why would you take God to the club? She couldn't sing. She got mad at me, cussed me out and everything, and because her pastor told her it was okay. And I said, your pastor ain't God, and if he don't repent, his blood going to be in your going to be in his hand for lying to you, and then you're going to be accountable for going and not studying that word to find out the truth. And so, you know, you just really have to pray. Man, I feel sorry for people that's following these type of people. But then God said we were going to be in that time where you're going to have false leaders, man, false doctrines of devils. And that's what you got now, false prophets. You got people false, sound like psychics and doctrine. They got their own doctrine. And you look at what they're looking at and you see what they're doing. You're like, wait a minute, man. You sure you're talking about the Bible? And then you're like, what Bible you reading? Because they ain't what that say in my Bible. And they got their own doctrine. They'll create their own God. They'll tuck out certain scriptures to fit their agenda. And that's who God is to them. And if you come to them trying to tell them, hey, man, hold on, that ain't what God said. And then they'll get mad at you and make you be the enemy because you're telling them you too. And we're supposed to be one body, one spirit. If I'm your brother and I'm telling you the truth, why you angry at me about something God gave us of the laws and the commandments to keep? He said, if you love me, keep my commandment, keep my word. Jesus said it on my, he said, no man shall live by bread alone, but by every murder that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So people don't know, man. We just in a time where, you know, it ain't just leaders. Some people just like them type of churches to make them think that, you know, they still going to go to heaven any kind of way, like I said yesterday. And so we just really have to pray. But, yeah, you know, I'm going to get back to my study and just trying to, you know, tell them to come in to help people. Because, I mean, you got to really, you know, we need help, man. And you really have to have a prayer life and really get serious about God. And, you know, we have to really, it's a sacrifice to really, you know, get in the place of God where you can give people a good, a holy, and anointed word from God. Because I'm telling you, the enemy is really fighting us all. And you just got to, like I always say, if you're looking for a minister, make sure you pray that God will give you pastors after his heart, not your heart. Because if we pick a pastor, we're going to pick them on, you know, how we feel. And if they say the wrong thing, you're going to leave that church and go to another church. And then you'd be church hopping.
Yeah.
But when God gives your pastor after his heart, he'll give you somebody that correct you. He's going to be like a two-inch sword. He's going to cut you. He's going to hurt you. But it's building you to be what God wanted to do and be in your life and do and the will that he has for your life. Well, most people don't see that. You're just living in the time now. But people are so sensitive. You can't say nothing to them by saying, hey, man, you might get in a fight, man. You say something to somebody now about how they living in sin. Hey, man, you might get shot. You might get stabbed. Because people don't want you to touch on their sin. But they want to go to heaven, though. But you want to go to heaven.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, okay, if your job, and this is what hurt me. I said, Lord, you got to get your glory right. People go on their job and follow. Every job you go on got laws. They got laws on your job. Dress code, they got laws for sexual harassment. They got laws for being a bully. They got all that. And your job will tell you, hey, man, you got to wear uniform and boots. You won't wear that uniform and boots if you ain't going to have no job. Same way a lawyer. You go on that job, they got a certain dress code. They not going to come to you with tennis shoes and a shirt and some jeans on. Unless you probably meet them in a restaurant, they out on their own time. But when they're in a place of business, they're going to dress according to what they're doing, the status, their job status. But it's like when they come to God, people get in an argument about everything. They don't want to dress. They don't want to do nothing. But then they want God. They want, you see, this is what it is. What's wrong with people, they want the hand of God. They want to treat God. I said this before on this radio broadcast, that people want. They treat God like he's a sugar daddy or Santa Claus, like they tricking with somebody. Lord, if you just do this for me, I'll do this for you. It's like they, you know, like a woman, you're going to buy a trick in the street, and then you say, okay, I will make a deal. I'll give you this much if you do this for me. And the people come to God like that because they don't know God is a sovereign God. He's not like man. He said his own word. He said, I'm not man, like man that I should lie, neither son of man that I should repent. But people don't understand. God is not like man. You can't put God in a category with man. He don't think way. I'm glad he's not because then we wouldn't have been perfectly made like we are made. The sun wouldn't have been in the sky like it is. So, you know, you just realize the place. And people just don't understand that God, you can't come to God debating and coming to him. And he knows your heart. He knows. I told this morning, like I said in the prayer, God knows your heart before you say anything. He knows you really love him. You can't fool God. When people think they go to God, I go to church and God give me a good husband or, it's this car I want, so I'm going to go to God. They don't want God. They don't want salvation and want what his son did, how he shed the blood so they can be free from sin. They just want God for a lot of tickets. Oh, man, if I go to church, pay my tithe, and I play the lottery, I can win the lottery. They're going, you know, the test they look or, oh, man, if I go to church, man, God, it's this woman I want. They just go to church just to get that person, and they hold a tent just to get somebody. They don't want God, but they just want another person to be with. And it's just sad that people don't know that God knows us. before we come to, he can see right through us. And so, you know, it just be a blessing that he don't destroy us because of sin. But thank God for his son, his blood, and his son, like you said earlier, when you were talking about coming to salvation, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't do all that. He brought his son in the world, and he didn't do all that for us to just live in that kind of way and say it's okay. And that's why I tell people, if you're in the church and the man of God is not keeping that word, you have a right to run and get away from them. I don't care what their title is. If they're not keeping the word of God, you have every right to leave that. You're not obligated to be in that ministry if they're not following God. You're supposed to follow them as they follow Christ. When they start following Christ, and if you got the Holy Ghost and you can tell something wrong, you need to run and pray for them. Don't stop. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says, you're spiritual. You see your brother fault, then they restore such a one with prayer and fasting, with praying fast, that God help them to see themselves if they see us. If they fall gone like some of these pastors with this spirit of pride that's following a lot of these pastors, man, I feel sorry for them because they don't understand that the blood going to be in their hand for not telling people the truth. So that's all I want to say. I'm going to get back to my study. I'm just trying to get something together. I'm asking God what to say. I just had to say
something.
People weren't saying it. I'm not judging either. Well, I'm pretty sure people probably are working or got other things they're doing that's on the radio. But, you know, just take heed into what the man of God is saying. If you're out there on radio land, listen to what he's saying. And if you really want a real man of Mormon God, first get Jesus, get salvation, get saved, and then ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And then after you get that, ask God to give you a pastor after his heart. And see, then once you get that, then when you got the Holy Spirit and salvation and God, Christ is living in you, you'll know the difference. Because the Holy Spirit going to tell you, if that person ain't right, oh, the Holy Spirit going to tell you. Oh, you can believe that. The Holy Spirit, or something ain't right by them. They lying. And then people don't know, the Holy Spirit tell on you. When a person full of the Holy Ghost and got the anointing, they walking with God, the Holy Spirit going to tell everything they doing. What I do is they don't even say anything because you dealing with the Spirit of God and you can't hide from God. And people get mad. They call it judging. Oh, these days and times, oh, man, you judge. Man, you already judge. Whether you like it or not. I always tell them, and I say this on the radio before, and I say it when I witness. If people tell me, for day, oh, man, you judge. Bro, hold on now. You already judge, whether I tell you or not. If you don't do what God told you to do, and God already done set, his word is already set in heaven. He already has set his laws up already, like my apostle was reading today about the commandment. God is not going to change his mind. If you don't do what God said to do, he said you're going to perish. He already said it. So whether I tell you or the apostle on here tell you or any woman or man of God on this radio tell you about what God already said, if you want to accept it or not, you already been judged by God. Like he already done judged the angels. Lucifer and the angels, they judgment already set. So you go, just because you don't want to accept what God already said, you got to remember, you got to stand before God. You got a day of a reckoning, and you got to stand before God and answer for everything that you've done, in secret or whatever you've done. So remember, whether we tell you or not, you got to stand before God. So I'm going to let y'all go. You have a blessed day. Love you, man of God. You be encouraged.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Can't wait to hear you again tomorrow. We know it's going to be another good message, because the last time you preached was a very good message the Lord gave you. So, but anyway, the line is open for anyone that want to respond.
Amen. God bless you, Apostle, again.
Thank you.
God bless you, Apostle, again. It's the prophetess Cheryl Kirksey. God bless you, son, Minister Jones.
You too.
And to Apostle Stewart, who I know is often listening as well. Praise God. It's always an honor to hear the word of God, because daily I get up every day to hear the voice of God and all the noise.
Amen.
With all the things that's troubling and shaking and
Amen.
All the confusion
Amen.
And unsurety. Yeah, I'm listening for the voice crying in a world that's becoming a wilderness. It's becoming desolate, and it's another day of reproof and rebuke, another day of scalding. And God is really trying to be merciful unto leadership, not only spiritually, but if they would get in a line, we'll find that we probably got a chance on correcting some things, stopping some things, or slowing some judgments down if leaders would just not get offended or draw back. And you know how children fuss. Well, how do we got to take the lick? Why are we got to be? And look at the rest of the sister. I'm the old because you're the oldest, or you're more seasoned. You've been in it a little longer. You should have better sense than to allow things to go as far as it has gone. And I was looking at you, were studying. I say, Lord, reproof and rebuke. You keep sending it. I mean, he's gently talking, because you better thank God that God is using our voices to speak to you. Now, if he was to come down and speak himself, boy, I don't know if you could handle it coming through the human spirit transfers in a what they call download through the human spirit. But if he came himself, and I think that our ancestors found that out at the Mount with Moses when they complained, you always talking about God said this, and you always talking about this is what going on. We want to hear God from ourselves, even though they've seen so many phases of transfiguration and what happens in a man or woman that constantly stays in the presence of God as long as Moses did. His face was shone, and it was just amazing. And I often try to imagine the results and the outcome of really staying in the presence of God, away from any other voice, any other elements, but it's just you and God in the mountain. That's why we had to stay in a place to make that ascension to the holy hill in this present world. And the way we get there is to hear the voice of God. The secret place is the realm of prayer, which Satan has robbed from the nations and taken down the, he told on that, what he called another type of Jacob's ladder, the way man of sin is so much war. His determination to keep them preachers from the altar, keep them awake, stop that church, don't let them pray, but they'll hear God, and it don't take, you know, it ain't going to take much to shake the world if you get a few people, two or three touching and agreeing can save the world, even a nation, a whole city. A lot of cities can avoid things passing through that would have, because God spared the city like he told Abraham about Sodom. If he found 10, he would have spared Sodom and the sister city, Gomorrah, and Zoar. Zoar was affected too. There was a third city when you really go back into history. And so the reproof and rebuke keep coming. And when you look up that word reprove, meaning to express disapproval, God do his own senses, he's only trying to convince us and convince, hey, the way you're doing it is wrong, the way you're going about it is wrong, and to convict us. That's what reproof means, to convince you or to persuade you, to make you take a second thought on that thing, and to convict you of the error of your ways, and to let know, I didn't do this to this church. I didn't do this, bring this on the world. There are spiritual laws in place that God said, when I spoke it, I declared the beginning and the end and in the beginning. And whatever I say, that it just proceeds. It just keep moving. It goes round, and whatever you commit, the earth, even the earth, God has a diverse, speaking to us verbally through this radio show, through Apostle Callender and the others that pass through here ministering, praise God. And then look at the whole creation. Jesus said it was going to be noise everywhere, warning everywhere, trumpets everywhere, the seas and the waves even roaring, the animal kingdom trying to convey a message, with them falling dead, and even the biosphere, even the things they have a voice. Creation is trying to tell you, hey, y'all need to stop what y'all doing. And when man get back in alignment with God and repent for real, not just say, well, Lord, forgive me, but in the back of your heart of hearts, you go back to that thing. You know, people got to pray deeply. When you do repentance, I just believe we need to go back to the old way of praying. When I was raised up or born I thank God that I was birthed in the fivefold ministry. Some churches go and they're just pastor and bishops, but we are privileged, and the elect there's an elect ones that have the privilege of being born into fivefold ministry, where you have the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor pass through the pulpit, because that guarantees perfection when they're moving timely, speaking timely, and then, you know, that individual reach perfection and grow and develop into the full stature of Christ and enter that glory that he died to bring sons into, to bring us. When we get to that level, it's no more us moving as male or female, but moving by the power of God. But the Lord is still rebuking us. And we are, like apostles say, I too stand correcting, because I'm going on to perfection. I don't know it all. I'm not perfect yet. But every day you have to make a choice to get up to live right. Even with the Holy Ghost, you can choose to go in the way of the flesh. You can choose the way of your family, with your wife, thinking with the church, stay up against God. And they'll bribe you. Leaders are in danger of it. If you want to know, and people say, all the time I ask somebody said something to me, and I answered them the other day. Say, why are y'all always picking the Old Testament? They ain't got nothing to do with that. I said, yes, you do. What you see happening today happened before us. And it's the repeated sins. If you read and not just live off a Sunday sermon, or just wait to hear the voice of God out of a man instead of seeking truth every day yourself. Open that word. If you can't read it, let it be read to you. There's just no way around it. And God is going to say the word is everywhere. The word is everywhere. And Satan got so many other translations and other ways that he don't want you to find the truth. You really got to be a truth seeker, like we search for hips, lips, and fingertips, and biceps and triceps. We search for everything else, for gold and the best top-paying jobs and the highest house. We need to search for kingdom things like we do after natural things. And so the Lord is saying to leaders, come on. He's trying to give every one of us a chance to do it just like he said to do it. Don't add and don't take away from the kingdom. Don't change the order and the structure of his house. Run it just like it, and it'll be most effective. And you'll find that there will be no sickness and disease in your church. There will be no depression, and people wouldn't be on all of this stuff if we would do it just like the Lord said. But he's still trying. Some people are still not convinced that what you're preaching has anything to do with us today. But we are repeating the sins of our forefathers, those who used to be over churches and temples of old. They did these, committed these same sins, and he spoke it in a type of shadow, and he said that your forefathers, they shut the doors of the porch. In other words, they closed down the house of God. They don't have a church like they used to do. They don't have revivals unless it's the anniversary or they pre-lurb services. He said that's the only time they open it. They got to pay them bills. They open on Sunday or open on Friday. Whenever the majority get paid, that's the night they're going to have service. And he said, your forefathers, they have shut the doors of my porch. Means shut the church down. The crack house opened more than the church. Walmart opened more than the church. It ain't used to be when I first got saved. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So when people going to do everything else, and he say they put out the lamps, that means the lights was turned off in the church naturally and spiritually, to the point that they didn't want the prophets or the prophetess or any seer come and declare nothing they saw. You know, because people had them got in the flesh, and this is where we at. If you want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, look at yesterday. Look in the Old Testament, and you'll see the repeated offense and the results of what the preachers are doing today. That we thank God doing a new thing. A lot of this stuff ain't nothing but corruption. This stuff going to lead folk to hell. You got folk following blind leaders. They don't understand the times. They can't even tell you which way you ought to go. And right now, everybody, every church under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ need to be in a fast and shut in. Preachers don't even call whole fast.
Right.
We had to fast 2-3 times a week. It was mandatory for preachers to be in the Friday night service at least once a month, talking out differences and ways how to better your dress appearance and your attitude of jealousy. And if we saw it, we did it right there in the shut in, and that way the congregation would maintain respect. for the elder. But if they committed an open sin, they got rebuked in front of the church, because if the church saw it and the world saw it, they had to bring them before the church to correct it. Not
Amen.
Do it in secret. That's covering sin. And then that caused the church to stop prospering. And then when they start telling lies, you know, a lot of church are not prospering because they got liar on the church announcements, a liar on
the
sign.
Board, yeah.
You say you have Wednesday night and Friday night services, and you don't only have it on Sunday. You need to take that off, because it's them little living
right.
that live it the whole lot. You know, and if we have respect to persons, you commit no sin. If you don't allow, now you want the pastor to preach all the time. Now, churches today, they accept bishops more than they do apostles and prophets. And they try
that's
to
right.
overlook the other one, that's respect the person. There's another mark of sin against you. See, and it just pining away in sin, adding sin to sin, and this is causing power shortages. And I feel the anointing saying this. So the Lord is rebuking us. The winds are rebuking us. We're getting whipped because God is still, he's only trying, because he could destroy everything and we'll never know what hit us, and we're gone. All we know is we could all end up in hell, because it don't take but one thing. One. If you break one law, you're guilty of them all. He said, one.
Jesus.
One.
Ooh.
I'm coming for a church without Ooh. A spot, a wrinkle. Up. He covered every area. So if you want to know what's wrong today, look at the Old Testament, and you'll see the same repeat of leaders. God said, the leaders, them I put charge over my holy thing. They the one polluted it. I didn't approve this. I didn't allow this. They the one doing this, not me. I'm trying to send a word of rebuke and correction and instruction, show you what you must do. And I'm awakening, refreshing Issachar's virtue to show you what the church ought to be going in, the direction it should be going in. And if you want to mount back up, if you want to mount up with the wings of an eagle and soar and ride upon the high places of the earth to see what's really going on territorial-wise and what's surrounding your city, my city, you got to get that church in the being. But three, you're accountable for them. You're accountable for them. And you don't want nobody's blood to be on your hand, because what's wrong with you as a leader will be what's wrong with your people. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. And so we see rebuke in God, all them armies on the four corners of the earth, China, Ukraine, Germany, all of them joining forces together. God said they wasn't. They just standing waiting on God. You know why they hadn't come in inland? Why they're not in Central America here in Tennessee? Now, we've been seeing a lot of convoys moving, and they setting us up. We being set up. But they're standing still, marching in one place, just waiting on God to say, okay, go ahead. We got to take this chastening a little bit deeper. We're going to take this rebuke a little bit deeper. Let some nuclear weapons fall. Let some of them burn up. That's what God would do. Let the creatures, like the movie The Titan, let the Kraken out. Let them open the bottomless pit. And CERN is just a big old key to the bottomless pit. The angel, Satan, has two keys working, one out of China and one in America. The bottomless pit is already being penetrated. They call searching and trying to doing a God particle. They got a God particle. They got something from Lucifer. They got something from Lucifer. And he's trying to work it. They can play with it and play with it. But we know the day and the hour is coming. Well, they ain't got a play. God is going to release it, because look like people are going more backwards than forward. Churches still refuse to hear the voice of God. Amen. And they still ain't open to say, hey, we got to fast. We got to try. Well, let's get back. Please, somebody help us. Praise God. And if you want to know what's going to happen in the future, all you got to do is read Revelation, and you'll see what's coming. Not, let's say, in the next hour. We ain't going to say in a few days or some months. It'll show you what's going to happen and where we at. We already in the seals. God have mercy on us. Amen. When the trumpets open, praise God. Antichrist is already here. They're already declaring it around the world that Satan is, they see him in his, who he really is. The whole world, as far as Isaiah say, don't say, is this the man? This the man? When they finally introduce it, that's the one. That's That's the scripture say was coming. That's Satan. That's Satan. He's coming. They're already meeting and talking with him. The world has already given their power and strength to the beast, and you see it moving. And we prayer warriors, we who are praying without ceasing, being instant in prayer, we're restraining some things, but I don't know how long we're going to be permitted to do that, because he will tell us to go in and shut our doors soon, because people won't listen, Apostle. They're not listening.
That's right.
And especially those stubborn leaders, they ain't listening, especially the one that's man-made and self-made and was chosen by the bit because their head, or your head big, or you sound like a preacher. You got one of them preachers' head, or you sound like a preacher. Oh, come on over here. You got a gift.
That's
and
the
they
truth.
Start setting
yeah.
people up after that because your daddy was a preacher. You're going to be a preacher. You can't set it up by that. You don't measure it by that. Praise God. And so God, the Old Testament is predicting how far the sin that's causing the eruptions and the dilation of this planet. The planet is trying to speak to us. The earth is saying something to us. Hey, y'all doing something wrong. You know, you go treading stuff, you ain't got no business. They're digging deep. She's opening and closing, and some holes ain't closing up. They're staying open for all the stuff that's going to be released to punish and bring wrath on the disobedient. Praise God. So I'm taking heed. Me and my son talk about it all the time and was talking about you. I said, I got to get back on there today. And when I find time, I was called in to see about another lady. And so I'm here on that porch and talking. I'm telling you, you just keep doing what you're doing, Apostle. You can, and people may not understand it. Some going to hear and some going to forbear. Some going to reject it. They don't like what we're saying. Some of you can't expect that. That's life. That's life.
That's right.
As long as there's a devil,
you
you're already
going
to have somebody that agree with Satan, and they ain't going to hear, and they're going to end up in hell and going to have to get out of there and go into the lake. You know, that's double jeopardy.
That's right.
And so we stand with you. We may not have all the money. We, a lot of time I just make enough just to pay my little bills and don't have nothing. But as long as I pay my bills, I be straight and I pay my little tithes where I go. And I'm telling you, but I'm striving every day to strive lawfully because I don't want
Amen.
To be lost. I don't want to preach to others and be a castaway. Praise God.
Amen.
And I feel the glory is increasing. It is increasing, it's mounting up, but God is trying to get leaders to repent. You need to get up. You need to get up and go out to that church and start praying for you by yourself.
Yes,
you need to
Lord.
Get up. Get up and open them doors. Get up. You have to hire somebody. That was Jeremiah and them did. Sometimes they called the money and the cunning women, and then even at funeral procession, sometimes they had to hire professional mourners. People who just been anointed have the ability to just walk around behind and say, ooh, and they ain't got to even know the people. And we pray that way and mourn and cry over nations and people we don't know nothing about. So sometimes you got to hire
right.
professional mourners and people who are cunning in the realm of prayer. You got to get them doors back open. Don't shut the doors of the church. Don't let that fire go out on that altar. Don't let it go out because the last glory is coming out of there, out of that rim, out of that
yes,
rim.
Lord.
That's where the last glory is coming through the rim of prayer. That's in the presence of God because in that place, praise is the presence of the anointing, the holiness of God is there. And so I bless God for you. And for Minister Jones, I'm excited about him coming tomorrow and thank God for Deacon, these two men. That's standing as pillar with you, Deacon, on this line often. And I didn't even realize, somebody asked me the other day, I think it was my son, he said, that Deacon said something about coming on his prayer line. I said, well, I had the phone on, I could be out the room, even though it'd be playing, and if I'm seeing about the client that I'm with. And I didn't even know that, and here it is later. And just whenever he want me to come on the cell for you, just let me know, and I have to get you his information from Apostle calendar of his, and then sometime I come back, I realize it's gone, I have to hang up, and
yeah,
I can't always say
page.
Nothing. Okay,
I'll put it on your
feed,
Prophetess, because
yeah.
he comes on Friday and Saturday night, he comes on. I put it on your page.
Yes, sir. So I want to apologize. I didn't hear you as far as that concern, because I could have it on and I walk out of the room and have it sitting somewhere where it don't be a disturbance, because it'd be on the speakerphone and I'd be at somebody else's house. And so, you know, a lot of time I miss something, then I come back in, and then I can hear what I'm not doing, what I need to do for the patient. But I thank God for you. You be blessed, be encouraged, you and your wife, Apostle. Thank God for you. And like they say, behind every great man is a great woman of God, like I hear y'all say about Apostle Stewart and his wife. Amen. And my son and his wife, God bless you. And I'm still waiting for God to bless me, because I do desire to be married. And if we have that kind of time left, praise God. I want God to bless me with a husband, because it's better in two somebody with the same passion.
Amen.
God for God. Y'all pray my strength in the Lord. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Prophetess. We thank God for you. Just stay connected. Stay connected, because that's all God wants us to do, is stay connected to him.
Amen. And I will be ready Friday. I will be ready Friday
okay.
for you.
All right. We're looking forward to hearing you on Friday. Stay connected. Your best is yet to come. And that God heard you. God heard your cry just now. You said you want to be married. God will give you a husband. He will give you a godly husband. Not any husband, but a godly husband. He will give it to you. You watch my word. What's your word? What's my word? God's going to call you out. God's going to call you out, and your husband will find you. He will find you. Matter of fact, in my spirit, I feel like your husband's already looking for you. He will find you. He will find you. I remember years ago, I was ministering in Boston here, in Cambridge, Massachusetts, big church. And Evangelist Camp Baxter, she was there. And I'd heard her husband's voice before. Didn't know him, never met him. But I heard him on Blog Talk Radio. And the Lord told me, he says, that is Evangelist, my daughter's husband. I said, okay. So I'm ministering in Boston, and I told her, I said, look, I said, no. She was Baxter then. I said, no, Evangelist, you know, Pastor Brown is your husband, you know. He lives in Boston. He lives in Georgia. She said, Pastor, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, what are you saying? I said, I'm telling you, if I'm not a man of God, he's not your husband. But I'm telling you that's your husband, because God told me. Watch and see. Oh, I'm telling you something. She didn't believe me. I mean, she was skeptical, let me say it this way. Well, she went to her daughter. She got two daughters who live in Georgia, and she had visited them one time, and she saw Pastor Brown. And somebody told her that Pastor Brown saw him, because she heard him on the radio too, but she didn't think that it was her husband. But God told me. And so she asked somebody, "Who's Pastor Brown?" Because he says, my spiritual father told me that Pastor Brown is my husband, but I don't think so. He don't think so, like he's God. God said, well, next thing I know, he had been to Georgia two or three times. And one time, she and Pastor Brown went out to dinner. Nothing happened, no talk or nothing like that. She said, well, the pastor, I went out to dinner with him. He just invited me to dinner. But he didn't even say nothing to me. I said, well, It's not his time. It's God's time. And God's going to do it his way. Well, the next time they went out, they talk and talk and talk and kick the bobo, like we say. And she came back to Boston, and she tell me, I don't care what nobody say, you're a man of God. I said, what's wrong? She says, Apostle, Pastor Brown told me that I'm his wife. I said, he ain't saying that. God said that.
It's almost 5 years, I think, they've been married now.
Yeah, it's been five years.
It's almost 5 years they've been married. And she was without a husband for several years. I mean, umpteen years she was without a husband.
Wow.
And I told her that. And she, because God said, I would tell God, I said, Lord, don't let me speak a word that you didn't say. I said, if I speak a word that you didn't say, cause my tongue to creep to the roof of my mouth and never let me speak again. Because I'm not looking for accolades. People that say stuff because they want to sound eloquent. They want to sound like they know something, you know, and it's not true. It's a lie, you know. And if you spell a lie, you're going to have to give,
That's right.
A account for it when you come before him, you know.
That's right.
And the less I got to give account to, the more sure I'll get it. You know, so I don't want to go talking because you say, well, I'm the preacher and the Lord say that. And the Lord say that. Land on the Lord. Lord is saying that. I want you to know that. God said that. I believe it. That does it. You know, everything sounding all so cliche. No, God didn't say nothing. Don't say nothing. God didn't say nothing. Don't lie on God. Don't lie on him because you have to pay. You will pay.
Amen.
You will pay in the end if you lay on it. You know, I really don't say nothing. I said, Lord, you tell me something. I said, Lord, if that's you tell me again. I said, if that's you, I heard that. I said, but God, if that's you tell me again. I don't want to say it. I said, God, you tell me again. And look, I tell you, somebody going to come on. Somebody going to say something. Somebody going to do something. It's going to line up with what God is saying to me. I know it's him speaking. Yeah. I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
So they hear something, it's in the flesh. They hear it in the flesh. Oh, God said it. God didn't say nothing. That's your flesh talking.
Yeah.
They want to be heard. I don't want to be heard. Because if you go over that stuff, guess what? You're going to have to pay a great debt. Great debt. Keep your mouth closed. Then you don't have to pay
that.
Don't even think about it. And I love the Lord to lead me. I say, I've been into the hospital, and I tell you, me and that same woman, Evangelist Brown, we went to the hospital. Her niece was over there. Man, she went into a shutdown. Her whole system shut down because her boyfriend had got shot, and she took it real hard. She went into a coma. I had to carry her away in the ambulance, and she was in the hospital hooked up. I've seen Star Trek before, watched it several times. It's one of my favorite shows. And that girl looked like something on Star Trek. She had plastic lungs coming from every part of her. Every part of her, she had lungs coming. She had a thing on her head that was monitoring her brain, you know, on the computer. Her brain waves were sure to make sure she's still alive. Everything was going wrong. And I got in there, the nurses, they start to laugh, you know. You know how the world is. Because when you come in there, you begin to pray, and God start to use you in your prayer language and stuff. The nurses start laughing. I looked at Evangelist Brown. I says, your niece is coming up over here, because they said she wouldn't go make it. She couldn't go to the bathroom on her own. She couldn't breathe on her own. Hallelujah. I mean, all everything that was wrong with this young woman was happening. But God was working.
My God. Yes, Lord.
And I said to Evangelist Brown, I said, your niece coming out of here. I said, she's not going to die. She's going to live. I said, because she's going to declare God who God is. And I left there. We anointed her. I told her, I said, you anointed certain places, because I don't touch women certain places. I said, you anoint her chest and all that stuff. And I anointed her hands and her feet and her head. And we came out of there. And then when we went back after a week or two, we went back to the hospital. She was not in the hospital. So we said, the nurse said, oh, she been gone. She going to rehab. I said, where she gone? She's in Springfield, Massachusetts. Man, almost an hour away. I said, we got to see her. So we went. I drove up there to Springfield, Massachusetts, and I went and visited her in the rehab center. Man, she was just like God says. She was recovering. You hear me? And you couldn't stop her. Man, she tried to take my doggone computer from me. That young woman, I couldn't do nothing. She tried to take my computer away. You know, I said, no, you ain't gonna have my computer. She was snatching my computer. She wasn't talking. She was in a wheelchair because she's recovering. But God was recovering her back to her rightful state. Now you see her. She's in Georgia. She got her son. Yeah. She's driving. She's working. I'm telling you, the woman that they said wouldn't going to make it. The nurses and the doctor said she wasn't going to make it. She had to go to the bathroom through a tube. She had to breathe through a tube that had her blood hookup, a blood machine that had her on the ear machine, the ventilator. Man, she had all kind of stuff on her. You can't even believe it. But they were saying what God wasn't saying. They saying what the man was saying, what the doctor was saying, but what was God saying? I said, well, what did God say? Oh, she's not going to make it. The doctor and the nurse said, well, she's not going to make it. She's not going to make it. I said, well, what God said? And then I said what God said. God said, she's going to live. She's not going to die. She's going to declare the works of the Lord. I said, she's coming up over here. I survived this, bro. No, she was so excited. I said, you hear what I tell you? She's coming up over here because God says so. That's not what I said. So I can't raise up nobody. I said, but God says so. And guess what happened? She came up with that heart spell. And now she's driving, and she's doing everything. But anyway, the line is open. The line is open. Come on in.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Man, we just pray the Lord that you are apostle. Pray the Lord that you.
Go ahead, Brother Deacon. What's going on? Come on in. Something's going on with his phone. Brother Deacon? Yeah, Brother Deacon, like he's going off. He says still on the line, but his phone's not coming in. Anyway, if no one else has a word they want to share, we are going to go ahead and pray and close out. We will talk to you all tomorrow. We thank God for all those that respond and those that didn't respond. We thank God for you. Thank God for your presence. Keep praying for your Washingtons. They are out today running some errands, so they are doing much better. We thank God for healing them. So, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us, Lord. You have fed us manna from above, Lord God. You have given us the water that we needed while we were thirsty, Lord. We pray today, God, that we leave this line, but not your presence, O God, that you continue to bless us in the city, that you bless us in the field, that you bless us when we come, and, Lord, you continue to bless us when we go. Lord, make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Father, we pray that you will make us the lenders and not the borrowers, O God. Father, we are praying that these blessings that we are waiting on are from this global currency recovery, God, that they will come sooner than soon and quicker than quick. Lord, we don't want to get blessings so that we can be braggadocious or act like we are more than somebody's, but we want the blessings to come so that we can bless those that are less fortunate than us, O God, those that you have put in our path, O God. We want to bless them. We want to care for them. We want to build water well so that where they have unclean water, we can give them clean water. Where they don't have shelter, we can give them shelter. Where they don't have food, God, that we can give them more food, Lord.
We are thanking you, Lord. And, Lord, you know we're going to do what we say we're going to
do,
because we do what we say we're going to do, even though we have a little bit. You said if we be ruled over a little, we'll make us ruler over much, oh God. Lord, so Father, we just pray right now, even right now as we leave this land, but not your presence, oh God, that you, oh God, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us, and that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we will continue to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Also, I want to pray for Deacon Fraser. Got a relative that is having surgery to the lungs there, and we're praying right now, Father. We've been praying for her yesterday here at the house. We've been lifting her up, you know, because we know that this lungs, when they say you have any kind of that trouble dealing with cancer with the lungs, it didn't take long. You know, it didn't take long. It's a very fast moving sickness, disease, and it take you out of here like no tomorrow. That's what my sister and my friend Misha died from. She had lung cancer, and it didn't last, and she didn't even know she had it. It just happened so fast when it was diagnosed, and it took her out of here like quick, fast, in a hurry. You know, and I miss her so much. Every time I turn on my computer, I see her there. She's in my computer. She's in my album, the album on my computer. So she's there. So I pray that Lord will heal your relative, and that she would have a great report, and that even if they see something, that it wouldn't be something that detrimental to take her out of this world, but that she would live to recover. This is my prayer for her, you know, because the God I serve is a great God, and he is a merciful God. He is the life-giving source, and you have to trust him. And I know a lot of people give up quick when they hear what the doctor say. The doctor say this, the doctor say that, and they give up very quick. They don't trust that Jesus is still on the job. You know, he never left his job. You know, he's always on job. You know, we leave the job, but he don't leave the job. He's always on the job. And all we have to do is trust and depend on him, rely on him, and he will work for us. He'll do for us what nobody else can do for us. I something is happening to me in my old age that is really blowing me away, that my memory is getting so sharp. I'm telling you something, that when I study something, I maintain it. And I was just doing some work, some spiritual studies, and then I begin to run it through with my wife, and she said, "Oh yeah, that's right. Oh yes, that's right." I said, "Wow." I was just running the study, and everything was just coming back to me. You know, never doubt God. Trust him. Hear me what I'm saying. Trust him. When you're going through, trust him. Don't give up on him. The songwriter said, "Don't give up on God, because he won't give up on you." Don't give up on God, because he won't give up on you. I tell you, don't you give up on him. So, as we pray the deliverance, pray the benediction, we want you all to just have a good day. Come on tomorrow and support this minister. He's a good man of God. He loves the Lord. He loves his family. He loves his family, and he loves God's people. Come on and support him. You know, encourage him. You know, a little encouragement goes a long way. You know, when a baby's learning to walk, the mother and father says, "Oh, that was so good, that was so good." When they make the first step, you know, it encourages the baby to want to make a second step, a third step, a fourth step. Yeah, it's the same way with ministers. When you encourage them, even though we've been preaching a long time, I'm not looking for encouragement, but when you come on and say, "Well, you appreciate what God is saying," it makes us want to get up again and go right back in and do some more. You know, that's what it does for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we thank God and praise God for you, for all the youths that come on today. And we pray that you come back tomorrow and be with us. In Jesus' name, Bishop. I thank God for Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart. And thank God for Deacon Fraser and all you all that come on in fellowship with us. But I pray that you all will break your silence, you know, break your silence and share. Help share. God bless you all. I will see you all on tomorrow. I am going to get out of here, and I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you so much, Brother Deacon. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Amen. All the best.